Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us is one of the most provocative and interesting columnists in America. He happens to work at the Inquirer/Daily News and on Inquirer.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Hayes. Hi, Marcus.
So you got me following Conklin and Dom Herrera. Thanks a lot.
Sorry, Marcus. Sometimes we don't know how this is all going to play out. But, man, I got to tell you, God bless you that you got big cojones to write. And I know you don't write the headline, but I think the headline reflected the column. Carson Wentz's poor play cost the Eagles their season. Marcus, yeah. Tell us why that game Sunday was the end of the line for real hope for the Birds.
Well, Dallas won, Minnesota won, and the Eagles really had a chance to win. I think the more winnable game of the two tough games coming out of their bye is the Patriots over the Seahawks, and I think I was right. I mean, they had a chance to win that game several times. And, you know, Carson wasn't just bad at the end. Carson was bad all game. Even some of his completions were not just imperfect, but they were, I don't know, they showed a regression. He was throwing – remember how Donovan wouldn't throw until the guy was open and he wouldn't lead receivers? Mm. That's what it looked like. And I'm the guy who wrote in week – I guess it was game seven – at Buffalo, that Carson maybe played his best game as an Eagle and won that game and saved the season. But that's who he needs to be. For $128 million, you can't be the worst player on the field or the second worst player on the field in relation to who you can be. Carson Wentz is a very gifted player, but once again, given a chance to win a game, both during the game and late, he just came up short. That's a big step he has to make. Dak Prescott has won 15 games close and late. 15 games, and I think he's come back maybe 7 or 8 times in the fourth quarter comebacks. Carson Wentz has 5-4.
All right, Marcus, let me just jump in here. You really said he had a terrible game when he launched a 95-yard drive, which is the longest drive given up by the Patriots in 8 years. You can't say his entire game was bad. He made some terrific plays in that drive. Don't you acknowledge that?
Well, if you throw a touchdown pass on one play and an interception on the next, and you do that 5 times, you wind up with 5 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. That's not a good game. I didn't say he didn't throw one good pass. I said during the game, he played poorly. And even during that drive, he made some poor plays. And I understand. I was the guy. My greatest failing as a writer or a columnist in town was being much too harsh on Donovan McNabb much too early, especially coming from Syracuse and having to learn so much. So I've been very careful about sort of grading Carson on a curve. And he's been better than Donovan early, but he's not on a curve anymore. He signed his second contract. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, the guy who gave him all the money, said, by year 4, you should know whether you have a franchise guy or not. They gave him the money. They think he's a franchise guy. They think he's Russell Wilson. They think that he's, you know, Dak Prescott or whoever. And he needs to produce that way. And it's not about, you know, him or Nick Foles. It's about him being the best him. And I don't think he has been, though he had a chance to be several times on Sunday.
All right, Marcus, let's just do a what if here for a second, because I acknowledge, boy, on that final real drive, the drive where they were at the 26, he made a couple of real bad throws that cost them badly. But on fourth down, made a brilliant throw that Aguilar couldn't handle. If Aguilar catches it, Marcus, is your whole narrative different? Do you even write this column?
Well, the day after Collins, well, certainly I would. I thought he played poorly during the game. And again, you know, I've kind of been on the other side of this corner as, oh, you're just the company man defending Carson. I write what I see. I reflect what's out there. You know, for tomorrow, I'm going to write about Jason Kelce, who's had a, you know, kind of a poor season, an up and down season. So no, it wouldn't have really affected what happened with me. My, you know, the caveat would have been, and then Nelson Aguilar saved him because that was a pretty good throw. But if I'm not mistaken, he threw it under pressure, and it sailed a little bit left to right. Nelson didn't run the wrong route. The ball just didn't go where it was supposed to go, and it was a windy day. And, it, you know, it was a tough throw. It would have been a great play on both ends. You know, it was remarkable that Carson was able to throw that ball where he did, keep it in bounds, and give his receiver a chance to make the play. I think that we're probably all in agreement that that receiver ain't going to make that play.
No.
But, you know, he works the play he has, right?
That's where I'm going with this, Marcus. You know football inside and out. You did a brilliant job, covered the Eagles for a long time. That's a substandard wide receiving core he's throwing a ball to. You got to factor that in.
Which is why he needs to be his best Carson. Wow. That's the thing that people are sort of overlooking here. When Russell Wilson loses receivers, when Aaron Rodgers loses receivers, when Tom Brady loses receivers, he works with what he has, and they succeed regardless. That's the difference between them and Carson Wentz at this point. Carson failed against maybe the best defense in the league, probably the best pass defense in the league. But he had a chance. He had chances to make plays, and he failed to make those plays, not under pressure, with receivers who were open. And not only that, he took two sacks he shouldn't have taken, one of which he fumbled. And he completely ignored his running back most of the day. They schemed to take away Miles Sanders early in the game. But he was open other parts of the game, and Carson just froze. And we've seen this happen before, and this is exactly what, you know, Deep Throat this year was talking about, him not being willing to check down and hit the receiver on time who is the outlet. And that's kind of been his MO throughout his career. And even when he was playing well this year, that was my greatest criticism of him. He gets greedy. He wants to be the man and make the big play. And against Buffalo and against Chicago, he was not that. Those were two huge step forwards from my perspective, but he took a step back on Sunday.
All right, well, this, you said something intriguing a minute ago, Marcus, where you were talking about by the fourth or fifth year, you know whether you got something special or you don't. Are you losing faith in Carson Wentz as a franchise quarterback long term?
Absolutely not. As I said, I thought he saved the season in Buffalo and played great against Chicago. His numbers aren't great in those games, but I'm a huge believer in the quarterback win. When you have a team that's mediocre or just a little bit better, which I believe this team is considering its injury issues, you need the quarterback to win the game for you. But more than that, you need him to not lose the game. That's a big step for Carson, and I think he's taken that step at times this year. He did not take that step. He had a chance. He had chances to win the game on Sunday, and he didn't do it. This is by far the signature game of Carson Wentz's career to this point, and it indicates who he is better than any other game.
All right, Marcus, I'm very curious. The column you wrote was incredibly strong. What kind of pushback did you get on social media?
You know, it was interesting, it's unfair because I think it's very much Nick Foles-driven, but most of the people who agreed with me, and it was about 60-40 agreed. I was astounded that I got so many emails, actual emails, not Twitter, but emails saying, thank you for finally saying this.
Wow.
But, you know, about half of those people were like, and they should have kept Foles, which I disagree with, you know.
It is a polarized city when it comes to those two guys, Marcus. Wow.
But social media was probably 60-40 the other way, you know, Facebook and Twitter. But, again, I thought it would be 90-10. I thought it wouldn't be 90-10 against me. And I don't, you know me, I don't really care. I don't look for that. You know, people call me a provocateur. I'm not a provocateur. I just don't care.
you know what? That is true, by the way.
I thought it would be worse, and it wasn't. I was a little surprised.
Hey, Marcus, last thing, because I consider you a phenomenal columnist as well as a great beat guy. We lost a great one this week in Bill Lyon. I just want to get your thoughts on Bill.
Well, when Bill retired in 2005 and stopped writing about sports, one of the things that really was lost, and even more so when Rich Hoffman retired a few years ago and stopped writing, he was so clear and so crisp and so clean. And as a writer, you know how hard that is to be on deadline with complex issues. The column I wrote Sunday from Monday, I wasn't very close to Bill. He worked for a different staff. It was long before we merged. We were kind of adversaries more than, compatriots. The column I wrote was, you know, Bill Lyon would love this team and love this season and love this game because there's lots of layers to all of it. And that's kind of who he was. He was the best at sort of peeling back those layers and helping you understand what you saw and what it meant and doing it clearly and doing it quickly. And that's a as well as I do, that's a gift you either have or you don't, you know, like Nelson Aguilar is fast, but he's not a complete receiver. You know, Jordan Matthews catches out, Jason Avant caught everything thrown to them. If you could hybrid those guys, you'd have the Bill the Bill Lyon of receivers. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great explanation. Marcus, love you, because every day you got something interesting for your readers. Thank you so much, Marcus. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Marcus Hayes with some fine insights of what's going on. Let's get John up here next. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys, Dylan.
John, a lot of discussion today in Nelson Aguilar, who is rated 124th out of 124 by Pro Football Focus, the worst receiver in football. What do you think?
That sounds like Scott Folk's quarterback ranking.
All right, so do you agree or disagree that he's that bad?
Oh, yes.
He is. So what would you do with him?
Cut him.
You're a minimalist when it comes to calling, huh, John?
Pretty much.
The host do all the work. All right, fine. Who do you want to name as something or someone who has made Seattle famous?
I did want to call about the whole game with, nobody gave us a shot against the Patriots. No matter what, we won or lost. I mean, I'm proud of them. They played great. Could they won? Oh, yes, they could have.
Yep.
But nobody gave them a shot at all. And, you know what I mean? I mean, with the receiving core they had, with Ertz being double-team, triple-team, whatever they did to take him out of the game, we still came out and played a lot better than what anybody else expected us to.
Hold on.
No,
you are absolutely wrong from jump. Hello. That Patriots team stunk the week before. That quarterback was god-awful, the worst quarterback on the field Sunday. And they had chances to win. And coming in, there wasn't anybody saying they were going to get run out the field by the Patriots, because that performance the Patriots put on the week before, there was every chance. In fact, the most popular opinion was that they had a far better chance to beat the Patriots than the Seahawks.
And if you look at it, you
jumped on John.
If you look at it, Al, because I did go to the game, the biggest difference between our quarterback and that Brady fella, Brady knows when the play immediately when the play is done.
Dead. Throw it away.
Throw it away. Yep.
That's
do
the
not
biggest
take
difference.
The long. He took his shots on Sunday as far as getting hit.
Yeah.
But he did not take sacks he did not have to take.
You know, Marcus just brought up the Foles thing with Wentz. If you had to make a decision right now, Mitch, Foles or Wentz?
Yeah, and I know this is going to make Joe Wechter angry, and I want to explain why I liked Foles over Wentz.
Yep.
Foles, quarterbacks mature in this league right around 30 years old. Foles, at the time he won the Super Bowl, was 29. He's 30 now. He spent his time as a backup learning. We could have had him for 5 years, a five-year window, sign him, let Wentz save his body, learn a little bit more, and then you got five more years after that.
You wanted Foles now and Wentz later.
Yes.
John, let's
or
get you on.
Or trade Wentz, because he has so much trade value.
John, I got to get you on the wheel right now. Give me something famous about Seattle.
Jim.
What do you got?
Pearl Jam.
Oh, Pearl
Jam. Give the man a spin. That's a genre of music, Al, called grunge.
It's a weird name, isn't it?
It's a good name. I like
even
grunge.
Weird.
Ooh, you got something there, Johnny.
Novacare prize wheel.
You have won a pair of tickets to the Black Crowes present Shake Your Money Maker.
Al, is that grunge too, the Black Crowes?
No, he's
played
back
in its entirety.
That's a hell of a show.
Right? Plus all of their hits. Taking place Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 at the BB&T Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com.
All right. If you missed it earlier, we dealt with the big controversy that is bubbling more right now in New England than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
New England fans and media people are alleging that we ramped up the crowd noise Sunday to distract the Patriots. When we return, Ear witness Kenny from the Dirty 30 will address the allegations. Don't go anywhere. And remember, we're here for Sixer songs. If you got one, call it in. WIP Sports Time, 8:15.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.